You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
When you're in need of inspiration, join the potentialist, Maggie Wilde, who will dare you to shine. No matter what challenge life presents, the potentialist will always help you reconnect to your authentic self, overcome unhelpful habits, reprogram the inner critic, and rewire your mind to attract what you want. With every episode, you'll walk away knowing that you are loved, loving, and lovable. Your time to shine is now. Here's the potentialist, Maggie Wilde.
Welcome to this episode. It's Maggie Wilde, the potentialist, and you are listening to Dare to Shine on Law of Attraction Radio Network. We have a great show this week on dreams. Yeah, I had a number of people message me during the week about what's actually going on for them with regards to lockdown and things that had kind of left them feeling a little bit flat. And the feeling was that they didn't want to hope and dream for what's coming in the future. They didn't want to sort of plan too far in the future because every time they did, a local law was changed and the lockdown was put on longer, or there was, things felt like they were out of their control. And so I thought I'd do a show this week on Dare to Dream anyway. Yep. So, this program is all about allowing yourself to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And if we can allow ourselves to still hold hope, to still hold something in our mind in the coming weeks or the coming months, even the smallest things to look forward to, it's human nature to kind of plateau a little bit when we don't have something to look forward to. So I know it's hard to make long-term plans. I know that it's hard to stop ourselves from worrying about the future. And, we've got some great brain training things that we can go through later on. In the second part of today's show, we're going to look at the resistance factor that comes up when we create a plan or we hold a dream in our mind and in our heart. And if any little self-doubt comes up for us, if there's a tail-end voice that stops us from believing in the outcome of that dream, or being able to adapt when things that are out of our control influence us. And so sometimes if we have a goal to do one thing, perhaps let's say, at the end of last year, if we all had our plans to go on an international holiday or a local holiday or an interstate holiday, then obviously, if one state or another state where you live did go into lockdown, then there were travel restrictions. There were restrictions on what we could do if we had, wedding plans or holiday plans, whatever it was. And what I want to help you understand and help you work with in these coming weeks and months is that it doesn't mean we shouldn't stop dreaming. I think it is so important that we all hold a sense of hope of something that we're looking forward to in the future. And, we might not be able to make the big plans right now. We might not be able to plan the holiday of our lifetime, but we can make the little plans and have those little milestones to look forward to. And when we are going through a challenging time, or when the environment around us is placing blocks in our path, then often we stop dreaming and we stop planning and we stop hoping. And that can actually, over a period of weeks and months, can actually start to be detrimental to the happy hormones, to the wonderful endorphins that we've got going on inside, that we can produce naturally inside our beautiful minds as well. So today I am going to show you a couple of little techniques and insist that you begin to think about just a little plan for something you can look forward to next week, even if it's just taking yourself out for a cup of coffee on Thursday, yeah? Or if it's just meeting the grandkids for an extra treat, 10 minutes next week sometime. So it's just short-term little goals, rather than, while we can't, obviously, in the certain parts of the world, we can't make those big plans for the moment. It's not permanent. And remember, that is something that we really, it will help us to keep focused on, is that nothing is permanent. Good times and sad times, that everything changed. The world is constantly changing. The universe is constantly changing and moving. And so we can often have these great plans. If they get interrupted, then we go off track, and we can tend to slip into a little bit of hopelessness or helplessness because we feel like that's out of our control. Where I believe we can still keep training our mind to feel positive, keep training our mind to focus on what we can do rather than what we can't do. And that's a really important factor, because our beautiful brain, in all its magnificence, is trained, it's trained by past experiences. It's also trained by genetic factors. It's trained by the processes. It's also got the innate training that goes through from, the start of time when we learned how to be protective of ourselves from saber-toothed tigers. We've got lots of different instincts that are going on in the brain, some new in our own lifetime created, and some instinctual that have been around for centuries and centuries till the beginning of time. And so our role is to continue to use the short-term objectives that we can create for ourselves, the short-term little happy goals that we can put in our mind that are baby steps, if you like, so that our mind is continually focusing on what we do want. Because as I said, there is an innate program that makes us look for what's wrong. Yep, we were programmed to look out for the saber-toothed tiger and the woolly mammoth to protect ourselves. But unfortunately, that means our beautiful brain often looks for the danger or the negativity before it looks for the positivity. And that is a trained process as well. So we can train ourselves into more of that, or we can train ourselves out of more of that. And it doesn't mean we lose the natural instinct to protect ourselves when we are in genuine danger, but it does mean we stop using that same technique to take over our day-to-day existence as well, meaning that we can spiral just gradually a little bit, a little bit by a little bit. It's kind of, I don't know whether you've ever heard the story about putting the frog in the water in the saucepan and just slowly boiling it, and the frog doesn't jump out because it gradually gets used to the temperature. And that's what happens when we have long periods of lack of motivation, long periods of lack of hopes and dreams, long periods of disappointment that we don't recover from or we don't heal from, when we have long periods of sickness, chronic illness, etc. One of the things that happens with chronic illness, and I speak about this from my own perspective, from my own history, where I used to, having been diagnosed when I was 20 with multiple chronic autoimmune diseases, I didn't realize how sick I would be getting over the years till I would end up in hospital, because you gradually just got used to feeling a normality with the uncomfortableness in your body. And if anyone here has a family member or yourself who has experienced chronic pain or some sort of chronic long-term illness, the gradual frog in the saucepan kind of experience means that often we don't see ourselves getting worse. It is somebody else that often says, hang on, there's something really wrong here. Have you noticed this about yourself? And you kind of go, well, actually, no, because it feels normal. I had that experience many years ago, just before I had the stroke. I had caught a Legionnaire's disease prior to the stroke, probably about a year before the stroke, and I didn't know that I was actually sick, because I'd always had this kind of these general aches and pains and things with the autoimmune disease. And when I caught the Legionnaire's disease and didn't know I had it, the autoimmune disease was triggered to exacerbate the symptoms. So over a very long period of time, about a year, it took me to get to the point where people started to saying to me, and I was hiding myself at home because I didn't really know what was wrong. I just thought I was getting worse and worse and feeling more and more helpless and hopeless about it. But what in fact had happened is gradually I'd lost my hair over a period of time, and I'd just gotten so used to it that I'd learned how to hide that and wear scarves and things like that. And I didn't kind of notice that it was getting worse. I just thought it was normal. And so I learned to hide that. The aches and pains were just gradually getting worse and worse. And because it was over a long period of time of gradual increase, I didn't notice it until I was nearly on my deathbed. And often that can be what happens with depression. That can be what happens with build-up of emotions that we don't process, like anger or resentment or hurt. And with what's going on in the world right now, disappointment and fear about the future or anxiety. Often those anxieties can simply just begin to build up. And we don't realize that we've lost hope, or we don't realize that we're no longer making, you know, little positive plans for the future, or thinking about what we can do rather than what we can't do, because it's gradually built up. And it often does take somebody else to try and snap us out of that, or somebody else to notice. Now, if we're not in the frame of mind to receive that, of course, that help or that notice that somebody has that experience that somebody's noticed about us, then often we can reject that. So I'm going to ask you, is there anything happening in your life at the moment that you have allowed to unconsciously build out of, you know, is there a long period of suffering that you've been through? Is there a long period of hopelessness where you've stopped making goals, where you've stopped planning and making dreams? Is there a long period of sickness? Is there a long period of stress or anxiety, or multiple stressors over a long period of time, given what's going on in the world right now as well? You know, just because COVID is affecting us in many, many different ways, normal stresses of daily life don't actually stop because COVID's here. So things like deaths and family breakups and marriage breakups and the good things like weddings and things, all of that is still happening around us as well. And, you know, there's job losses, there's lots of things that are going on that can progressively affect us if we're not curiously doing something about that on a regular basis. And that's what I want to work with you on today, is just using a couple of little brain training techniques to teach you some simple skills to do a couple of minutes every day. And that doesn't mean it's about solving your world's problems and the world's problems and, you know, all the big stuff right now. What it means is about just spending 5 or 6 minutes each day chipping away at the buildup of stress, or the buildup of angers or disappointments, the buildup of emotion that we often don't realize, like the frog in the saucepan, is happening until it's become chronic, until it's become depression, or it's become sickness, or it's become hopelessness, or it's become an addiction or a habit or a cycle. And so let's really think about, what are the things we can do right now? Okay, so in our second part of our show, we're going to do some more brain training techniques, but I'm also going to do pull a card for the second part of the show, like we did in last episode, and let you learn how to just tune into that positivity and tune into your own inner voice, your own instinct and intuition, in order to see what your unconscious has ready for you, and to see what instinct and intuition is beginning to reawaken in you as well. So that's in the second part of today's show. What we're going to do right now is look at the making the little dreams and plans. We're going to look at what can we do right now to, even if we can't make long-term plans and we can't do a big holiday, or we can't do anything that we normally get a chance to do on an annual basis. Some of our, you know, some of us go on big family holidays on an annual basis. Some of us, you know, move house. We do all those big things. And if we can't do that right now, what I'd ask you to do is just ask yourself what you can do. Now, in times of stress, we are pre-programmed to look at more of what we can't do. In times of depression and anxiety, our brain is pre-programmed to protect us. And, you know, it's a helpful thing if there is a saber-toothed tiger around the corner. It is a very helpful thing if there is a very real physical danger. And that is a wonderful instinct that we have. But when it's just little niggling chronic stress that builds and builds, then we don't realize that it's taking effect. So let's do a little brain training on the disappointments or the feeling of letdown, or feeling of you just decide that for yourself? What's the kind of thought processes or niggling back tail and voice that's been happening for you around feeling let down, about not being able to do the things that you want to do right now, not being able to plan, not being able to make the big dreams, and or if there is a dream that you have been working on in recent years and that COVID has got in the way of that. If your dream was to retire and now it's changed, whatever it is, yeah, I want you to think about how that makes you feel inside yourself. Think about the experience of, if you can put a word on it, like it might be disappointment, or it might be annoyance, it might be frustration, it might be feeling helpless. Whatever it is for you, I want you to think about something that has let you down in the past, or that you have been let down by, that has stopped your ability to hope and dream, or has gotten in the way of one of your dreams, or multiple dreams as well. And think about that experience. How does your body do that experience? If you had to take the day off from doing that emotion or that sensation, and you had to teach me how to do it for you, how would you describe it? So would you say it's hot and heavy in my heart, or would you say it's a thudding in the back of my neck or my head, or would you say it feels like a helplessness? Is it an emotion that you can describe? Just think about, does it have a thought or an emotion or a sensation? Remember the recipe of how our brain and our body interprets things. There's always a recipe to it. It'll have the recipe of a thought, or the recipe of a emotion, or the recipe of a sensation. So tingling, heaviness, or emotion such as sadness, unhappiness, or it could be a thought such as, this is hopeless, I'll never do this. Whatever it is, I want you to think about what that is, the first thing that comes to mind. Now, if it's the thought that comes to mind, just measure the intensity of that thought on a scale of 0 to 10 and notice where in the head or the body the thought seems to come from. If it's an emotion, again, just measure it on a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being not at all and 10 being extreme. And the same with, if it's a sensation, how intense is it? 0 being naught, nothing at all, and 10 being, it's so bad, I can't cope. Yeah. And once you have that measurement, I just want you to blink, 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 and acknowledge in your own mind, as you roll your eyes in a big circle one way, that's not me, that's just wiring. And roll in a big circle back the other way. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. And then take a deep breath in and breathe out twice as long. And one more, breathing in and out twice as long. And just one more breath in your own time. That's it. And just notice what you're experiencing now. If you think about that thought, that emotion, or the sensation, is it the same intensity or is it different? It might have moved just a little bit. Just be curious. It doesn't matter if it hasn't. Just be curious where it is on that scale. And we're going to do a bit of tapping. I don't know if you've ever done tapping before, but it's a wonderful, what we call a pattern interruption as well, that is going to help interrupt the pattern that your brain and your body has gotten into with communicating those thoughts and those sensations and emotions throughout your body. And so we're going to start on what I call the chest point, either side, and just press around until you find a little sore spot. It's not agony. It just feels like a little bit of a bruise. And I want you to rub on that point as you simply say, even though I've been feeling this, and state what it is for you. I'm learning to love and accept myself. Even though I've been feeling, state what it is. I'm learning to let it go. Even though I've been experiencing, state what it is again. I'm taking control. That's it. And I just want you to move to what I call the thumb point, which is just by the side of the nail. You can either rub on both sides of the nail or tap. So one hand will be rubbing on the other thumb. And just saying that feeling. on the index finger in the same spot. You'll either rub or tap that feeling. On the middle finger, again, on the sides of the nail there, either rubbing or tapping as you say, it's time to let it go. On the middle finger, that feeling. And the ring finger, that feeling. Then on what we call the karate chop, which is just underneath the last knuckle there on where you would do a karate chop, and I just want you to rub or tap on that point. As you say, the past is the past. Enough is enough. I'm stronger every day, more confident every day. I'm taking back control. Even though I've been feeling, state what it is, I'm learning to love and accept myself. Even though it feels, state what it feels, first thing that comes to mind. It might be out of my control or hopeless and helpless, whatever the feeling is. It's time to let it go. I give myself permission to feel stronger every day. And even though others may have triggered this experience, or even though what's going on in the world may be causing this to happen, I'm taking it day by day, and I choose to look at what I can do. I choose to feel more in control. And just state this feeling, state what it is. And then this thought, first thing that comes to mind. And then this sensation. Just notice what it is, where it is in the body. And notice if it's different. And then take in a deep breath, breathing in. And out twice as long as you say, I let it go. And again, breathing in. And out as you say, I let it go. And one more, breathing in and out. That's it. And just roll the eyes in a big circle one way and back the other way. And just ask yourself, I'm learning to love and accept myself. I choose. What do you choose? Just state what you choose instead. Instead of what you've been focusing on, state what you choose to focus on instead. Measure the intensity of that old energy, the thought or the emotion or the sensation. On a scale of 0 to 10, is it the same? Is it different? If it's the same, that's okay. Just roll the eyes and breathe in and out again as you focus on it. Or go to what's called the gamut point, which is on the back of the hand between the last two knuckles. And then just slide down about a couple of centimeters or an inch or so, so that it's on the back of the hand, and just rub on that point. As you say, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. And it doesn't mean everything is perfect right now. It just means I choose to focus on what I can do. I want you to think about that for the moment. Just as you rest there, I just want you to think about if you focus on what you can do rather than what you can't do, how does that change what's going on in your mind? How does that change what's going on in your body, sensation-wise and emotion-wise? So if we think about, I can't go on that big holiday, you know, notice how that feels in your body. It feels heavy, it feels disappointing, it feels all of the things that it might feel. But if you roll your eyes and blink three times and say instead, after you clear your mind, I can take myself out for a drive today. Or I can pick up the phone and ring my friend. Or I can see my grandkids tomorrow, or I can have a cup of tea in the sun today. Whatever it is, I want you to think about something small that you can do instead And it doesn't compensate for not having the holiday or not having that dream that you were looking forward to. But it does shift the brain from focusing on what you can't do, which can tend to spiral out of control without you noticing it. And it shifts the brain into positivity so that you can focus on more of what you can do. Now, when we do start to make plans in these coming days and weeks, and just those small plans, remember, if we can't do the big dreams at the moment and or our big dream has been interrupted, I don't want that to let you stop making plans. I want you to be able to have things to look forward to. And I said, as I said earlier, it's human nature to need that. It's human nature to need to experience something to look forward to. And when we don't, when that's been taken from us for experiences and situations out of our control, such as something like a lockdown experience, then our mind can often get stuck in that space for longer periods of time than we like to think about. And I think I've talked about in previous episodes that what becomes a sensation or a feeling today becomes a little habit if it's not interrupted tomorrow. And that little habit of thinking or behavior becomes kind of an addiction at some point if it's not interrupted. And then if it's not interrupted and it goes on for longer and longer, it becomes a trait that that is the kind of person we think we are. Or in fact, if other people are around us and have witnessed us move into that and stay in that space, it becomes the kind of person they think we are as well. But remember, what I've talked about again and again is that these habits, these thoughts, these depressions, these anxieties, these sadnesses, these addictions even, these traits that you think you have are just wiring that has been used, a belief system, a habit, a thought process, an emotion or a hormone process that's been triggered that you have allowed through circumstances or didn't know how to stop or to interrupt. And instinct has taken over in the mind so that the mind just continues to allow it to grow as a habitual experience. Because remember, a belief or a habit is just neural pathways that have been used so often that they've begun to feel like a habit. They've begun to feel like they're out of control. They've begun to feel like they're instinctive or intuitive. Yeah. So you instinctively know how to put the certain amount of pressure on the brake of the car to pull up at the traffic light, because you don't have to think about that anymore, because the brain has used that neural pathway between the thought of I need to stop the car and the hand and the foot and the coordination that it takes to do that. The brain and the body have learned to do that, and the neural pathways have been set in place so often that you do it instinctively, and it's no longer something you have to think about doing. Unless there's an interruption to that, like somebody runs in front of you on the road. So the key to all of this is, if you have been feeling a certain way for a certain period of time and it's become kind of who you think you are, or you've become the kind of person you think is that habit, that depression, that anxiety, that disappointment, the person that never reaches their goals, the person that sabotages, or the person that bad things happen to, they're all belief systems, just neural pathways firing and wiring in your brain. And things like the little brain training recipes that we've been learning over the past episodes are tools, tiny little interruptions to those neural pathways that gives you the chance to take some control over the way you think about those things, the way that you respond to those triggers, so that you can do something a little different, just one thing different in that space. So if you've recognized there's an uncomfortable feeling, sensation, or thought that you've been having for a long period of time, that you recognize, hang on a minute, I didn't used to think this way, then all of a sudden you can begin to take more conscious control and conscious awareness. I call it the curious detective. You can become the curious detective, like you're witnessing yourself doing something, feeling something, or experiencing something. And when you witness yourself doing that, you're able to just pause, blink three times, roll your eyes in a circle. And if you could imagine what's actually happening here, like a light switch, yeah. So all you've done is, if you want to turn the light switch on to get a response of light coming on in the room, you flick the switch, an electrical surge moves through the wiring in the ceiling, and all of a sudden the light goes on. Well, the same thing happens with a thought being triggered or an emotion or a sensation. So the wiring has been fired, it's been triggered by an external or an internal experience. And all we're doing with a roll your eyes and blink three times, and you can roll again after that, or even the tapping as an extended version of that, or the brain training recipe, the thought, feeling, and sensation, all of those things are just a light switch that you're flicking off. Yep. So you're no longer allowing an electrical surge to flow through that neural pathway, that set of neural pathways. Yep. Which means for a few seconds, you're not going to have the same thought anymore, or at least you're not going to have the same intensity of thought. And what we want to then do is, in that space, you get a few seconds where you're no longer thinking, feeling, or experiencing the same intensity, then you get to choose what you think, feel, or focus on instead. How cool is that? Remember, this is about you just learning that you can take a little bit of control over how you feel or how the world seems to be treating you and your reaction to that. So in our second part of today's show, we are going to continue doing some brain training recipes, and I'm going to, as I said, pull a card and do a little bit of an intuitive call on that card. But I want you, we'll just use those words, to help you learn how to tap more and more into your intuitive essence, the essence of you that knows the answer to all that you need, and the essence of you that has an instinct that you know when things are right or wrong. You know when there's a habit or a behavior or an experience that you've been going through that you could, in fact, do something about once you start using these tools and these strategies. So you're listening to Maggie Wild, the Potentialist. This is the Dare to Shine program on Law of Attraction Radio Network. We'll see you in part two.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Be sure to sign up for your monthly updates and get all the latest information on LOA radio events such as cruises, workshops, and seminars, as well as information on the latest shows, topics, and guests. Go to LOARadionetwork.com and sign up today.
Welcome back. It's Maggie Wild, the Potentialist. You're listening to Dare to Shine on Law of Attraction Radio. We're here with part two today, where we've been talking about dreams. We've been talking about, you know, when our dreams are interrupted, when things just aren't going the way that we thought that they were going to be. And, you know, in this day and age with what's going on in the world right now, some of our big plans, some of our big dreams have had to change. They have had to be interrupted, whether they're work dreams and plans, whether they're personal, you know, holiday and family time, whatever it is. There's a lot of people in the world right now who've had to change plans, and a lot of businesses and organizations that have had to change plans. And what we're working on is recognizing that we don't have to be making the big plans right now. If, you know, we can't, if we're in a place in the world that is in lockdown where we're not quite sure what's going on, then it's so important, though, to still make small plans. Just have something to look forward to every week. And even if that's, as I said in part one of today's program, you know, organizing to know that at least every week you're going to be catching up with a friend, or you're going to have some time out for you, or book yourself a massage, or if you're allowed to in your part of the world, or go for a walk, or even if it's every day, you just make, you know, 10 minutes your time to go and have a cup of tea in the garden or something like that, so that you can experience the positivity and create the positivity that you're in charge of. Yep. At the moment, there's a lot of people in the world who aren't in charge of some of their decisions and right now. And so what we want to do is look at the things we are in charge of, the things that we can do rather than the things that we can't. Okay. And so I want you to understand that if we don't take charge of that, if we don't give ourselves that positive experience every day in any way that we possibly can, by recognizing when the negativity pops in our mind or when we're looking and focusing on what we can't do, then it's so important to use a brain training recipe to interrupt that, whether it's the roll the eyes and the blink, or whether it's tapping, or whether it's a brain shift that we've been doing over the last few weeks, the little techniques that we've been teaching you, in order for you to do something to interrupt that thinking. Because remember, one thought today that isn't a helpful thought, that doesn't trigger helpful experiences inside you, can become, over a long period of time, because we don't notice it getting out of control, we don't notice that it feels worse and worse every day, then it can actually become what we think is our trait. It becomes who we think we are. We're just a depressed person, or we're just an angry person, or we're just a frustrated person, and or the person who can't stop having the extra glass of alcohol, or whatever it is. And what we want to really help you understand, so that you can shine even brighter than you're already shining, is that you do get to choose, that you do have some influence and some part to play in how you feel and how you experience the world. And being able to dare to dream, being able to make plans, even the smallest of plans right now, is so important in producing the right chemical experiences inside our beautiful brain, so that we can have the ability to more naturally stay focused on positivity and stay focused on the things that we can do in our life rather than the things that we can't. And, you know, it is human nature to protect ourselves from bad experiences. It's human nature to protect ourselves from danger. And when we have the kind of, you know, danger that's going on in the world right now, and we haven't done something on a daily basis to interrupt that negativity or that fear or that disappointment, and to allow it to continue producing the chemicals that disappointment produces, and the chemicals that anger produces, and the chemicals in our brain that frustration or hurt or sadness or any of the emotions that we're experiencing on this roller coaster right now, then if that unhelpful emotion is allowed to escalate and allowed to just niggle away at us, then if something else happens tomorrow that disappoints us, and something the next day and the next day and the next day, then all of a sudden we can get ourselves into a space that it feels harder to get out of. Now, it's never impossible. We can always do something. And the first step is to realizing that even a trait, even a habit, even what feels like a habit or a behavior or an emotion or a trait of who you think you are, is just still wiring, firing in your brain, and you still get to choose how to think differently, and you still get to have a part to play in taking charge of that. Now, having said that, it can be, especially when we're on our own in the world, if we're feeling a little isolated, it can be very challenging to bring ourselves out of that space. And that's what I hope, you know, there's so many people out there in the world now doing wonderful things to inspire and to uplift, if they're in a position to be able to do that. And, you know, not just this show, but there's many other shows here on Law of Attraction Radio, and we are just one network. There are many other shows in the world. There are many other opportunities where there's some great free stuff to be able to help you. And there are more people in the world than you can imagine who are in a position to provide strategies or tools or something to help lift you out of. So never stop looking, never stop reaching out, because I promise you there's always help there. And if the first help that you reach out for doesn't resonate with you or doesn't respond for you, the greatest advice I can give you is to, again, recognize the disappointment, but do something about that. That's just wiring firing too. You get to ask again and again. You get to ask somebody else. You get to look in a different direction. Never give up on asking for help. That's so important, because it might not be the first person that can help you. They might not be in a position to, but it might be the next, and it might be the next, and it might be the next. But the big deal is you can help yourself as well. Yeah. Often we don't realize how strong we are when we're in those states, when we've been triggered by something that's going on in our world. We actually lose sight of the fact that we are an incredibly strong human being, and that we have incredible power in the way that we think and the way that we experience the world, the way that we react to the world. There's an incredible power in being able to step up and be who we are. So remember, the simplest thing is, if you're unsure of what to do, just blink three times. Whenever you recognize you're having an unhelpful thought, experience, or emotion, or you've been feeling a certain way for a few days, then just blink, blink, blink. Recognize you can do something about it. Roll the eyes in a big circle as slow as you possibly can. Recognize if there's any part of any position where when you roll the eyes that feels a little trickier than most or feels a little jagged, then just stop, pause, and breathe and do it again. So roll the eyes one way. Slowly. Roll the eyes back. Slowly. Blink, blink, blink. And then take a deep breath and breathe out for twice as long. Now, if that's all you can manage to do, it's going to at least give you a breather in your brain for a few seconds. And in that space, I just reiterate time and time again, do something different. So put your attention on what you can do. Or take yourself outside and look at the sky, or do something nice for yourself, like have a cup of tea in the garden, or ring a friend, whatever it is. Do something for yourself in that space that gives you the chance to be able to shift what's going on inside you. Deal? So what we're going to do right now is, once again, this week I'm using the medicine cards because I just love, love, love them. If anyone's ever seen them before, they are the medicine cards by, I haven't got my good reading glasses on today, Jamie Sams and David Carson, and they are called the medicine cards, the discovery of power through the ways of animals. And I just love these cards. I'm not actually using their interpretation, because what I'd love you to do is to use yours, because I believe that our beautiful mind has all the answers to all the questions we could ever ask of ourselves. And so I would love you over the coming episodes to be able to learn more and more, to tap into your intuition, to grow that intuitive instinct that can help you through some of the toughest times in your life, and that the more you listen to it, it's like a muscle. Yeah. So the more you use it, the more you use these skills, it's just like wiring firing in the brain as well. So the more you use it, the more the wiring fires, the more it feels like you're just more of an intuitive person, the more you feel like you're the kind of person who just, you know, goes by gut instinct or listens to their gut instinct. And if we can practice that muscle and learn to use it more and more, then we have an easier time in the world. I promise you, we have a much easier time. I don't know whether you've ever felt like somebody was ever going to ring and the phone rang, or if you recognized that. I remember years ago, in one of the first books I ever wrote, many, many years ago, it's not actually available anymore. It was called Wildly Happy and Wise. That's Wildly Happy and Wise, but you can't actually get it anymore. I might re-release it one day. But it was basically about teaching you how to get in touch with the guru energy inside you, the part of you, the instinct, the intuition that you have all the answers that you could need if you just pause and learn how to listen to that inner voice or that inner sensation. Some people do it through clairaudient experience. They hear that intuition. Other people get a gut instinct, so they do it sentient-wise. They do it through sensation and feeling. Other people do it other ways. So the more that you learn how to tap into that, the more the experience You can listen to it throughout your life. But in that original book that I wrote many years ago, I gave a lot of stories of about people who were learning how to listen to that experience, that intuition. And I give a couple of real stories around a friend at the time who was very... she was an empath. She used to feel what other people were feeling, and sometimes distinguishing between her sensations and other people's sensations and emotions was actually quite difficult for her. But she was in a shop. She was on her way home one evening, and she was in a shop. She just pulled into the, we call it a milk bar over here. It's a general store where you can get bread and milk and general day-to-day things. And she was after some milk on her way home. And she was at the fridges and she had this incredible pain in the stomach. And she thought, what is that? I can't believe it. And it was so physical, she just crumpled over. And then it just disappeared. And she thought, that was just weird. And so she walked around the aisle and she was heading back with her milk to the counter to pay. And there was this woman around the corner at the other end of the fridges, and she was crumpled over in pain and she was nearly crying with pain. And my friend said to her, what's happening? What's wrong? And she said, the pain, it's so terrible. It's so terrible. And so she got my friend got the store owner to call the ambulance, and they said the ambulance was about 15, 20 minutes away. And my friend's instinct was that this girl didn't have 15 or 20 minutes. She didn't know why. She just knew she had to bundle her in the car. And she did. She bundled her in the car and she took her to the hospital, which was only a couple of minutes away. And they rushed her into emergency surgery, and she'd had a burst appendix, and it was, you know, any left any longer, she could have gone septic. It could have turned into such a terrible, terrible experience. And I know that from experience because my husband had a burst appendix about 8 or 10 years ago now, where it went undiagnosed by the doctors, and he ended up nearly dying because his entire body became poisoned. And it took months in hospital for them to drain away the poison before they could even operate to take out the appendix. So, you know, this woman was literally at death's door. And it was the friend's instinct that knew she had to get her to the hospital in time. And so I don't know whether, you know, you've ever been aware that somebody might on a, you know, a different scale, not so much the empath physical scale, but, you know, do you feel things? Do you get a sense when people are going to ring? And if they don't, do you know, do you actually see? Yeah, some people see experiences or their guides or things like that, however you want to interpret it. I know years ago I was living on the Gold Coast here in Australia, and I was due to go to a friend's place. And the friends lived about 50 or 60 kilometres away, and I had to go on the motorway to do that. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was going to stay overnight, and we were going to have a lovely evening together. And I woke up in the morning and I just had this feeling that I shouldn't go and that I shouldn't get in my car today. So I remember thinking, this is stupid. There's no reason I should go. It's a beautiful day. I shouldn't go. It's a beautiful day. So I didn't. I didn't actually go that day. I rang my friend and I said, look, can I postpone and go next week? And that felt right inside me. That felt much better. She was fine about it. And I said, I don't know why. It just is this feeling. Well, I got this feeling that I needed to take the car to a mechanic, and I took the car to a mechanic, and there was a huge nail in the back rear tire, and the person at the mechanic had actually said to me, if you'd driven this on the motorway today, you would have spun out of control. The tire would have burst. It was very, very severe. I got back home, and the exact time that I would have left that morning, within 3 or 4 kilometers on the motorway, there had been a huge accident and cars had spun out of control into the woods on the side of the motorway, and people had actually died, and it was about 6 or 7 cars involved in the accident. And so whether it was the nail in the back tire of my car, or whether it was the fact that there was intuitively, I just felt like that it was the motorway was dangerous that day, or whether the nail in my car had spun out at that particular time, at the same time, whatever it was, something had stopped me going on the motorway at that point with my car in that condition and with a huge 6 or 7 car pileup in where people actually did die. There was 3 or 4 deaths from that that accident. And so our intuition, our instinct, whether it's big things like that that are life-changing or whether it's just knowing that somebody's going to ring or that somebody needs your help or that, you know, a friend is in need and needs to, it's about learning how to trust that, learning how to listen to that voice more and more and learning how do you do instinct and intuition as well. People do it in different ways, as I said before. Some people do it as a sensation in the body. Some people do it as a voice in their ear or in their mind. Some people do it as an emotion. They just get this gut instinct or they get it as a feeling inside them. And some people are picking up on what others feel, like an empath. And some people are able to just tune into what their higher self is saying to them or a guide or whatever it is for you. And whatever is your belief systems as well. And so that's what I'd love you to do today is to start practicing that muscle. So I'm going to draw a card from the medicine cards, and they're all about animals, which is, you know, something I absolutely love. And oh, one just fell out, so I'm going to grab that one. It's on the floor. Oh, that's interesting. It's the ant. So what is the ant saying? So I want you to take a deep breath, just roll your eyes and blink so that you clear your mind and think about the ant. What does the ant say to you? What message does the ant have for you? And just allow that to pop into your mind. For me, the ant says you're stronger than you think you are. The ant says it can carry much more than its weight on its back. And its busyness, its ability to just move through life doing what it needs to do, that sometimes the carrying of that extra load can be helpful and sometimes it can be a burden to us. And so I want you to think about if that resonates for you. Are you carrying too much at the moment? Are you carrying too much of other people's stuff or your stuff at the moment? Or are you carrying the right balance of load at the moment? And are you going through life busy like an ant does? One following one trail backwards and forwards, carrying his workload or her workload? And is it time to stop and take the load off right now? Is it time to pause and just think about the good work that you've already done? Think about what you have already achieved. Not just continue to work aimlessly without thought. So think about that for you if that resonates to you. If not, just blink 3 times, roll the eyes. Take a deep breath, breathing in and out twice as long, and ask what the ant says to you. And if nothing comes, that's okay too. If there's a sensation, witness that. If there's a thought, be curious about that. And remember, this is just like a muscle that can be trained to go stronger. So if nothing comes right now, that's okay. Just practice again and again. We'll do another card in a moment. That's it. So just while you're doing that, I'm going to draw another card. And this is interesting, the mouse. So let's take a deep breath. Roll the eyes, clear your mind of the ant for now. Blink, blink, blink. And breathing in. And breathing out. And if the mouse has something to say to you today, if the mouse has some sort of wisdom or experience to share, what would the mouse say today? The mouse to me is saying that we do have a voice, that we can speak up more clearly, that our voice is stronger than we think we are. Sometimes we feel like we have to quieten our voice and speak like a mouse. Sometimes we think that we have to not be the lion inside or the lioness inside. And maybe, just maybe, there's a voice inside you that has something louder, stronger to say, that's something that is unsaid. And that the mouse is wanting to step up and be that lion or lioness. What is it that the mouse is saying to you? If that doesn't resonate with you, that's okay. But just blink 3 times, roll your eyes both ways, and ask yourself, what does the mouse say to you? And the next card, as you're there and doing that, under the mouse, was actually a blank card. And so I'm going to allow, just in this last few moments of the program today, I want you to just allow your mind to take the messages that you've received so far. If there's a few notes that you want to take or jot down, that's okay. And I want you to blink 3 times. Roll the eyes one way and roll back. Breathing in and breathing out. And because you have the opportunity to dare to shine even more brightly than you've shined so far, I want you to allow the part of you that is all-knowing, the part of you that is all-seeing, whether that's the highest self, whether it's your guides, whether it's instinct and intuition, whatever it is for you, I want you to call upon your mind and allow the blank card to draw to you whatever it is that has a message for you right now, whether that's another animal that has a message for you, whether that's yourself or your higher self that has a message for you, whether it's something else. Some people see colors and a color has a message for them. Whatever it is for you. Some people see someone who's passed who has a message for them. Allow that blank card to bring forth whatever it is that you need to hear right now. Because your unconscious highest self knows more than you think it knows. It knows that there's something you need to hear today. And even after this program ends today, in the next few minutes or hours, the next day or two, something, some message, some wisdom will simply pop into your mind and you will know that that muscle that is your instinct and intuition is growing stronger. You've been listening to Maggie Wild, the Potentialist, on Dare to Shine, and this is Law of Attraction Radio. The Dare to Shine program is about you shining brighter, because remember, you are loved, you are loving, and you are lovable. We'll see you next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining Maggie Wild, the Potentialist. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Please visit Maggie at thepotentialist.com.